The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome to Tuesday. Great to have you back here again after yesterday, Labor Day. We had quite a show, including the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. Today, we're looking ahead toward this weekend, and we begin with some headlines before we get our guests lined up in here and your phone calls. Auburn has two QBs, Finley and Ashford. And Brian Harsin expects both to play this weekend against San Jose State, and why not? Luke Altmyer expected to start for Ole Miss against Central Arkansas. Another big-time game for Lane Kiffin's team, getting ready for the SEC action. Some breaking news right now. This is important because Vanderbilt was feeling good about this weekend, but Sam Hartman, he was the first-team All-ACC quarterback. He's been out since August for a non-injury-related situation. He apparently has been given the go-ahead and, according to various reports, will start against Vanderbilt, that game early Saturday in Nashville. Big game in Austin. I guess you've heard about this by now. Nick Saban, ahead of the game against Texas, saying, "You act like we don't know them." Saban seems to be copping an attitude this year, doesn't he? We don't even know what that means, but I'm sure it means something because Nick Saban said it. And Steve Sarkisian basically saying this game will not define his program. In other words, we're going to get our butts kicked. Don't blame me. Breaking news at this hour. The new AP poll is out. And who's in? It looks a little bit different. Georgia has moved ahead of Ohio State. Michigan, what are they doing in the top five? Clemson, A&M. Florida is in there. How about that? Tennessee's in there. No more complaining from Tennessee fans. So this was expected. I'm surprised Georgia didn't get more first place votes, but Alabama clearly in front in spite of Georgia's dominating win over Oregon. So that's where we are right now on a Tuesday afternoon. And who we got? We got Reese Davison here just off of game day. Brian Robison, he's part of the Texas network. Greg McElroy, he's part of pretty much everything. Roman Harper, never heard of him. And I have heard of this next man. Pat Dye, Jr. He is a longtime attorney and sports agent, and we will talk to the son of the legendary Auburn coach later in the program. And your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. And let's get right to it. John starts it off in Louisville. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. Nice opening monologue there, by the way. Can you tell me when IBAN is on what hour?
I think he's taking
not Dara. I was kidding you. Legend.
Oh, a legend. I thought you were asking me about Daryl. Daryl quit the show yesterday in protest.
Oh, he was an angry yeah. Georgia
Bulldog. I feel terrible. Daryl can giveth, but he can't taketh.
No, well, you gave it to him. Hey, by the way, I mentioned to Danny, I'm going to be overseas for 3 weeks, so I'm not pulling an AC on you after this show.
Well, tell me about your itinerary.
Well, my daughter and friend put it, her friends put it together, but it's, we fly out tonight through Detroit, through Amsterdam to Rome. 1 week in Rome, 1 week in Palermo, yeah. And then 1 week in Venice. Hope to meet some nice girls there, you know.
If you're near the Vatican, go by and say hello to my friend Francis.
Yeah, Frank, he goes by Frank, right?
Frankie.
Yeah. I should look up the Archbishop.
Hey,
though,
the
now that
Archbishop,
I think about it.
You should do that. He is he's at the university in Vatican City literally, just go up to the door, knock on the door. He may be watching right now, for all we know, or listening to the podcast, and just tell him who you are, and he'll take you out to a nice Italian meal.
Hey, I'm Paul's friend. I'll do it.
That's all you need to do.
Here's my winners and losers from last weekend, Paul.
Okay.
The number one winner is Mercedes-Benz Stadium for inner concessions for hosting two games.
That's a good one.
Number two is the South Carolina mascot that got back its Sir Big Spur name. We won't go over the other names. We won't revisit that. And number three is Mike, a.k.a. Cherry Picker, for bringing the crow to the show and eating it all.
That is true.
By
the way, I envy you. I've never been to Italy, and I've always wanted to go.
I told Danny I'll send some pics.
Okay.
And stories. And losers, it's got to start with Brian Kelly. He, honest to God, he looked fat and lethargic. No emotions, no energy. I mean, the most he ever did was stick up one figure after a touchdown. I mean, he looked like a guy who had doubled his salary for the next 10 years.
in his mind, lowered the pressure.
Yeah, and unlike last year when he got a miracle pass, I think God said, no, you're not at Notre Dame anymore, and besides, I don't like your accent, so screw you.
Yeah, Brian Kelly, he had a press conference this afternoon. We watched it. It was tedious at best and uninteresting at worst.
Number two loser is Pac-12 because there's no CFP for them this year.
I agree with you, and some of my colleagues have disagreed, but you know what? I think they're done.
Number three, and I say this respectfully, Greg Sankey and the CFP group, because they gave a lot of diatribe on why they can't get it done, but, I mean, honest to God, we're going to have four more 14 playoffs because Sankey said we're looking at 27 before we get the 12-team schedule in.
Yeah, I think it's 26, the 26th
season.
No,
he said 26th season and 27th playoff.
Well, yeah, January and 27 is when the playoffs would be.
Yeah, so that's four more of this.
Yeah, and that's that's just simply not tolerable. But, again, we've all wasted too much energy on those commissioners who can't shoot straight.
Right. Quick question before I go, and that is there been any update on the new rules for the proposed rules for the transfer portal?
Still being discussed. John, you have a good time. Thank you for the call, and we will continue with more of your phone calls. How about Trey in Arkansas? Hey, Trey. Didn't hear Trey. What about Tony in Tennessee? Tony, go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for allowing me to come on your show.
Thank you.
I've got a little bit of history that was made in the Oregon-Georgia game. Memory lane.
Are you going to share it with us, or are we going to have to guess?
Yes. In 1971, the Crimson Tide came out with a new offense, and they shocked everybody. They previous year, they lost to Southern Cal, and Bear Bryant went out to, I think it was Oklahoma, and he, under close scrutiny, adopted
Tony, if I could help you with your story, he actually went to Texas.
Thank you. Texas, and he had a closed camp. Well, he came out with that offense, and he just tore the SEC up. Unfortunately, in the Orange Bowl, Nebraska beat them 38-6.
That is correct.
Anyway, so what you've seen Saturday with Georgia and Oregon, I spoke briefly about it last year with Kentucky's game. Georgia has come out with a new offense that I've called the ambidextrous offense. And basically what that does, it targets the linebacker core. The linebackers got to honor the pass and the run equally. So the defender has to choose their poison. Which one do you want to take? And as long as you allow those screens and those out passes and allow them to throw the ball, they're going to throw it.
Tony, I hate to run, but we're up against the break. Our guest is coming up, Reese Davis from College Game Day. We are coming back right after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here as we get ready to say hello to Reese Davis, the host of College Game Day, as week one is in the books. And Reese, great to have you with us. The AP poll is just out. Alabama, a convincing number one. A lot of people were wondering whether Georgia could close the gap from number three, maybe even to number one. You're a voter. How did you see it?
I've jumped Georgia from number three to number one after last week, Paul. And it wasn't a reflection of anything that Alabama or Ohio State did, because I still believe that taken in totality, Alabama's probably got the best team. But I've preached for a long time that early in the season, I think you ought to be fluid, you ought to move these teams around, and you should be reflecting what you see as opposed to trying to validate predictions. So because of that, I thought Georgia, with just an unbelievable performance against Oregon on Saturday, deserved to be number one this week. And we'll reevaluate each week. And the way I approach it, as the season gets deeper, I'm a little more forgiving of a lackluster game that maybe is, you know, the third straight, a game after two straight tough games or something of that nature. But early on, I like to shuffle them around a little bit.
College Game Day heading to Austin. But before we get to Austin, I would like to go back. You know, maybe you don't want to go back to Columbus for one more visit. But it was, and again, but I just have to, there was so much conversation about the end of the show on social media. And since you're in the middle of it all, what went down with Jack Harlow, the guest picker, and how did what happened on the set correspond with the reaction across the country?
I didn't think it was as big a deal as it seemed to be with some of the reaction. I mean, Jack was really chill. I think he's more of a basketball fan than a football fan. And that segment is supposed to be entertaining. And it often works best when you make your picks based on, I was talking to a girl in Cincinnati for a while and I really liked her a lot, so I'm going with Cincinnati. I mean, he did it obviously in a much, let's say, more methodical, slower pace. But I remember even Tim McGraw, who's one of the all-time great guest pickers, will sort of, and knows football inside out, he'll kind of weave in a pick like that every now and then, along with his football knowledge. The segment works best like that. So I thought Jack was fun. He was a really nice fella. And, and I thought that LC imitating him, leaning back and just sort of nodding his head every now and then was pretty funny.
And it's talked about all the time because, you know, some weeks you're the talk of the country, and some weeks you're going, how did we end up with that? But what goes into that part of the program, considering the show's been on television more than 25 years and you've covered a lot of ground?
It's something we wrestle with more every week for such a small slice of the show. It's important because it's at the point of the highest viewership. Viewership builds throughout the morning as we get closer and closer to the kickoff of games. So it's important. But a lot of times it feels like we put an inordinate amount of weight on wrestling with the decision of who's going to be the guest picker. And also because it is such a high-profile thing, you're dealing with people who are really busy, and sometimes you'll have people cancel at the last minute, or people who, yes, I want to, I love the show, I've always wanted to do it, oh, I'm sorry, can I do it another week? You know, so you run into a lot of that too, and I think people have this idea that we just pick and choose from anyone we want, and it often doesn't work out that way. You know, people have other plans. For instance, I don't know if I'm supposed to divulge names or give away anything, but our number one choice for guest picker this week, great friend of the show, has been an unbelievable guest picker in the past, is not in town, can't do it, can't get there. So, you know, so we moved on to another tremendous choice, wherever that choice may land by the time Saturday morning comes.
So not to be a blogger, but whoever we see Saturday morning will be the second choice, right?
No. See, there you go. I'm just saying that I don't know that we would have used, you know, heck, I don't care. I've already done it now, and you're a friend. I love you to death. So, McConaughey.
Sure,
McConaughey's always the guy, right? I mean, he's tremendous television, and he's a great guy, and he loves Texas, and he loves football, and he's been so kind to us over the years. He's not in town, you know, and so we'll move on from there. But we were already looking at maybe we use someone else for a guest picker and see if Matthew can be a part of the show in a bigger way somewhere else, you know, so it's not always just guest picker. And he, you know, we're still looking for ways to get him involved in the show, but it will just be, you know, it'd be a remote location situation.
Yeah, I realize he's a famous actor and could be anywhere in the world, but it's hard for me to imagine anything more important to Matthew McConaughey than being at the Alabama-Texas game.
Well, now that all depends on what you think the Alabama-Texas game is going to look like after the first quarter, Paul.
Well, I've heard some of, you know, the highest rated stars on ESPN today already predict a complete and total beatdown. So I guess based on what Stephen A. Smith said earlier, it shouldn't be worth watching.
I don't know that I agree with that, and I'm not sure how you feel, but
I agree with you.
I do think that Alabama will and should win the game, and I do think they will likely pull away a little bit at the end. But that's going to be a frenzied atmosphere, early kick, a real defining moment. What Sark said the other day, the game plan's been in for 3 months. You know they're breaking tendencies, and as that always happens to Alabama. Alabama's everybody's measuring stick, regardless of what Sark says. So I think we're going to have a competitive game for a while, but I think ultimately Alabama's talent will end up controlling the game.
Reese, it's a hashed out topic, and I know you covered it and have covered it countless times, but you know, since we saw you last, we think we have a playoff here soon. We don't know when. What are your thoughts on not having it, because I think everyone would like to see it, but you know, having it sooner rather than later?
I hope we can if we're going to do it. I do have some concerns about the way they're going about it, meaning that six conference champions, that assumes all the conferences are equal. They are not, and they're even less equal than they ever were before. So I would have liked and have suggested to people in the past when they were looking at it before that there needed to be a benchmark for the conference champions to reach. They had to be in the top whatever, you know, top 10, top 8, whatever you decided the delineating marker was, that the conference champions needed to be ranked among the best teams in the country or they didn't get the automatic bid. You know, they opted not to do that. I would like to see also that they go beyond the first round games on campus, and this is more for the fans than anything else, and do the quarterfinals on campus. I think it would make for more of the collegiate atmosphere. And the other thing, Paul, is from a grander standpoint, I think it's time for the playoff to expand. I think we all are looking forward to games that matter at the end, but it comes at a cost. And I don't understand why people don't just accept it. If you want to say that it's more important to me to have a, you know, some an Oklahoma State, Kansas State game still means something in November, and that's more important to me than having an Alabama LSU, like the 2019 game, basically be a winner take all. If you want to say the former is more important than the latter, that's your right to think that. But I don't like the idea that people say, well, that doesn't matter. Yes, it does. It makes college football unique. We're the only sport that has that. Maybe it's time to give that up. But I do think it comes at a cost, expanding the playoff. And I, from my standpoint, I'm not going to be quiet about acknowledging that. I think it's great. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great to have those playoff games. It comes at a cost. And hopefully that won't be a cost that diminishes the experience for the fans and for everybody on any given Saturday throughout the regular season.
Another fantastic conversation here with Game Day's Reese Davis. We thank him very, very much for joining us. They'll be in Austin this weekend. We're heading to a break right now. Much more to do on the program. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Great to have you with us. And let's check in with Andre, who is up next. Hey, Andre.
The one and only Coach Paul Feinbaum.
Hey,
Coach,
there.
Coach, how was your weekend, Coach?
It was great. Thank you.
Look, what kind of grade do you give Brian Kelly for this LSU Florida State law?
I'm a pretty tough professor, Andre. I'm not sure.
Oh, I know you are.
I don't see a passing grade here. What about you?
Yeah, I give him a C+.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
You're too easy.
He should have went for two. He should have went for two, Coach.
Yeah, I'd have given him a B minus if he'd gone for two. But yeah, I'll give him a C minus. It was unimpressive. He passed the test because. At least he did inherit Ed Ogeron's team, so I'll give him that.
Man, ain't that a tragedy with Mason Smith, Coach? He's out for the year.
Yeah, that is terrible. That is absolutely terrible.
That is terrible. But listen, Coach, like I tell anybody, in this conference, this is a line of scrimmage league. If you don't have the defensive linemen, you can forget it. If you recruit in this conference, outside of the top 15, you can forget it. You're not going to climb this mountain that we call the mighty SEC. That's just how it goes, Coach. But, you know, I listen to your comments off the air, and thanks for taking my call, Coach Feinbaum.
Always a pleasure, Andre. Phil is in New York. Hey, Phil.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
Paul, I watched your interview with Greg Sankey yesterday. And frankly, I was very disappointed. He seemed to be really against expanding the playoff system, and I don't understand why. Maybe it's because he likes what's going on with the SEC, and he doesn't want to ruffle any feathers. What's your opinion on that?
Well, let me remind you of something, Phil. Greg Sankey was on the 4-person committee that came up with the 12-team playoff that was proposed a year ago. So he is clearly in favor of a 12-team playoff. I think what you may have misunderstood is his cautionary tale about starting it earlier than 2026. But I feel very comfortable having spoken to him and interviewed him many times to tell you that he is in favor of the playoff.
Yes, but why wait till 2016?
Well, it's
2016.
Here's why. Let me. I hate to go back in history, but let me make sure you understand this. So Sankey and three others came up with this idea. They began meeting in 2020, 2019, and made this proposal last year. It looked like it was going to get green-lighted, and then some very petty commissioners voted it down. And initially, it was supposed to go into effect in 2023. So he is clearly in favor of it. And I think he was they primarily made him the poster child for everything that's wrong in college football and blamed him because of Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC, which had nothing to do with anything other than their desire to get out of where they were. So ultimately, he is in favor of it. He wanted it. He wanted it in 23, let alone 26. What's happened now is they've wasted a year. These are complicated matters that can be decided rather quickly, I might add. And I think he was just simply being very cautious in terms of how he presented where they are versus where they're going. But I know you heard what you heard, but I think you misunderstood what he said.
All right, Paul. Thanks a lot. Thanks for clearing up that.
Okay, I'm glad you did. Because of all the things that Greg Sankey would be against, that is not it. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate your call. Ridley is in Alabama. Hello, Ridley.
Hi, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you?
We are doing great, Ridley.
I wanted to talk to you about the Auburn quarterback situation right now.
Okay,
so,
sure.
So, I know we have Robbie Ashford and TJ Finley, but I was just wondering who you think would make the better starter. I know that Parson already named Finley as the starter, but I think that Finley could give him a real run for his money if he was given the chance.
Well, Ridley, I agree. Remember, a couple weeks ago, neither one was expected to be the starter. Calzada was. So things have changed pretty dramatically. I think what you're going to see Saturday against San Jose State is both quarterbacks share time, and I think whoever comes out of that game is going to start in the now all-important Penn State game. So I think it's really all about playing two games, seeing who has the hot hand, seeing who really has greater command. And I don't think it's a big deal yet. It becomes a big deal next week, though. That is indisputable. Thank you for the call. And Jay is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Jay.
Hello. How are you, Mr. Feinbaum?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Good. I am a longtime Tennessee fan. And I realize that your listener just became very sorry for me. I get that. I'm wondering why the talking people, the talking heads, the sports reporters are coming so positive toward Pittsburgh next week. When I saw Tennessee play, I realized Ball State, but they played a good game and at the second half took out the quarterback. It seems to me that we can score fairly quickly. So even if we're on the field trying to stop the run from Pittsburgh, I think we'll score more points, but I don't hear that anywhere. Why is that?
Yeah, listen, I don't know where I think sometimes it depends on where you're listening, Jay, because I believe Tennessee is favored in this game, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe they are a favorite. I frankly think they're going to win the game. And, yeah, Tennessee is a favorite in the game. They're now ranked in the top 25, which a little bit overdue. But, I saw the Pittsburgh game against West Virginia. They were lucky to win against a middling team. And I know there's some concern about Tennessee's defense, but there's no concern about the offense. It's as explosive as anybody in the country outside of Georgia.
I felt that myself. I was wondering why they didn't get more credit because, like I say, they brought the quarterback.
Hey, by the way, Jay, who have you heard say that Pittsburgh ought to win this game?
Oh, I just listen to different sports programs.
Okay.
I can't tell you.
Okay, well, I just wondered because I'd like to talk to that person to see what they know, because what the people that I believe, and we'll have one on later today, believe that Tennessee is definitely the better team. Well, thank you for the call. Yeah, and again, that you can listen to, you can sample the dial and get whatever is said, but I don't think that is accurate. Thank you very much. Dwayne is up next in Mississippi. Hey, Dwayne.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great, Dwayne.
Man, that's awesome. I talked to you before. I'm the one that asked you about your legacy, what you wanted done with it.
But, I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, by the way, I haven't stopped thinking about it. I'm trying to figure out what the before I can have a legacy for something to do with my legacy, I need a legacy.
Oh man, you're the best, Paul. You're the goat. You are the goat. Never think you're not the goat.
Okay.
But
well,
check
thank
this
you.
Out. The guy from New York calling, talking about Greg Sankey. I don't want to hurry up with it. I don't think the rest of the country wants to hurry up with it, because when it's all said and done, the Southeast Conference is going to be in the final. There's too much talent. Did you see this weekend? The talent spread out across the Southeast Conference is amazing. It is amazing. And I just think that's where everybody wants to play, and that's who's going to be there in the end.
Well, I know one thing, Dwayne, if I'm out there at the commissioner of the Pac-12 or the ACC or the Big 12, I'd want that playoff to start tomorrow, because it's the only chance to even have a snowball's chance in you-know-where of making a dent. If you get in the playoff, at least you can say you're a playoff team. Right now, if you're not one of those four, you've become almost a nobody in college football. We'll take a break. We have a lot more guests to come. We've already had Reese Davis to start things off. Many more guests to come, including your phone calls right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back here early on Tuesday. Let's check in with Derek next in Birmingham.
Hey, what's going on, Governor Feinbaum?
We're doing great, Derek. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I tell you what, I really appreciate the Pac team taking Bo Nix from us and giving us Robert Ashford. That was a great trade, Paul.
That was a good trade. Thank you. I agree.
Yeah, Bo Nix, for so long, he divided the Auburn fan base, and for so long we thought it was Auburn, but it really was Bo Nix and Bo being Bo. But, Paul, I was calling you to tell you I went to the LSU and Florida State game on Sunday.
Okay.
And it was amazing. It was electrifying, and I was kind of disappointed because it was more similar fans in Superdome than the LSU fans.
Well, that's surprising.
And they rocked that building.
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocked to hear that, considering the locale.
Yes, sir. They rocked the building, Paul. It was my fraternal brother invited me down on the ride, but they rocked the building. The enthusiasm, the passion, the energy was just electrified, and they really did a good job showing up. And I was really disappointed in LSU performance.
Yeah, it was pretty lackluster. Well, Derek, thanks for checking in. Joe is up next in Atlanta. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul, you're good. I'm good. I wonder if y'all could put up a chart of last year's final top 12. Maybe you could do 13, 14, 15 to see who would lose out and if they had the playoffs last year, okay? And who would match up against who and where they would play and how is this going to affect the bowl games. I'm assuming the top four get byes.
That's possible. That has not been worked out yet. The original plan, I think, was for either the first two or the – I can't remember how they did it. Yeah, first First four get a bye, 5 through 12 play, first round on the road, and that's to be determined what happens after that. I think the real issue, though, is the bowl games. And if you think about the current setup, I mean, there's some pretty good bowl games on New Year's Day. Those are all going to now shift to some of those sites are going to shift to the middle rounds. But there are both. I mean, your garden variety bowl games are going to be seriously impacted by this, and that's just something we have to deal with. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Danny is up next. Hey, Danny.
Hey, Paul, Professor Paul.
Yes, sir.
How you doing today, sir?
We are doing great.
Good, good. Paul had a couple of comments, scenario. Well, I would like your comments afterwards. But one, the future in college football, the expansion to 12, 16 teams, so forth, so on. To take out the what they do about the portals as far as transferring. And the other question is, Alabama's quarterback, I don't see a backup on that team, and I'm an Alabama fan, but just want your comments on that and tell Darryl to give me a call.
Okay, Dan. Yeah, I mean, Alabama has a couple of players behind Bryce Young that they feel pretty comfortable with. One in particular, but you're not going to, you're going to eventually see those guys a little bit more. Nick Saban's not one that yanks the first team quarterback out very quickly. He's got a professional mentality there. As far as the future in the transfer portal, there's a lot of work trying to adjust that, make it a little more restrictive. But once that door has opened, it's not closing at all. Thank you very much for the call. Charlie is in South Carolina. Hello, Charlie. Mitchell is in Columbia, South Carolina. Mitchell, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Watching this week, I mean, the main thing that stuck out to me is Oregon being ranked 11th coming into the week. I mean, a lot of people, even at the time, said that was ludicrous. And granted, I don't think it'll matter, but that is still a ranked victory for Georgia. I mean, God forbid they lose somewhere down the line. I mean, they don't have the toughest schedule in the world, but, you know, there are always some surprises. And it just reminded me of a few years ago when Bama beat Florida State week one. Florida State at the time was ranked, I believe, 3.
They were.
And then at the end of the year, they weren't ranked at all. But, you know, that win may have snuck them into the 4 spot ahead of Ohio State, which caused Herb Street to walk off the stage. I mean, granted, Bama won the whole thing, so take that as you will. But I feel like rankings after week one and before week one get too much weight in the college football world, and I was just wondering what your take on that was.
Yeah, well, first of all, in Georgia's case, I don't think it's as critical. Georgia could lose to South Carolina in 2 weeks and still be in good shape for the same reason that Alabama in that year, if you win the SEC with one loss, you're going to the playoffs, and that's always the advantage. I was talking to some people earlier today about Clemson. Stephen A. Smith was trying to argue that Clemson may not get in if they go undefeated. My counter was they're probably still going to get in with a conference championship. Depends. I mean, there are a couple of outliers of 5 or 6 schools go undefeated, but ultimately you have a little bit of a cushion. And that first game is against a ragged team does matter. And you're right. I used that card many times in defending Alabama that year that they beat the number 3 team in the country, and I got laughed at by people, but. George is up next in Gettysburg. Hello, George.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you today?
We are well. Thank you.
So I'm a Penn State grad, and I'm going to Auburn in 2 weeks.
Oh, good.
And I've never been to Alabama, and I was wondering what I was in store for, and you could recommend a couple places to dine in the Auburn community.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think what you're in store for is an amazing trip because I think Auburn is one of the most electric places in college football to experience. And I say that as somebody who has been to College Station many times for State College many times for games. And it is unique. You know, there between the mountains, there's nothing quite like it. But I think you'll really enjoy Auburn. Are you staying in Auburn or somewhere else?
We're staying about 35 minutes outside of Auburn. in between Auburn and Atlanta.
And, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll see. I've been to a number of really good places in Auburn, but I will let some fans call in and make suggestions because Penn State, because. But I think you'll have a great time.
Our community here is we have great creameries, and our ice cream is very famous. We were just wondering if Auburn.
You go down to Toomer's Corner, and there's a famous drugstore on the corner there that I think you will be most impressed by. Been there about 150 years.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.